The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk, episode 471, to be broadcast on Wednesday, February 4th, 2026, on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. She's off in the other room producing her show. So she is not here today to get back to you. If you want to leave a comment, I will try to do that, but I can't guarantee that. So otherwise, you can send me an email at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. Or you can comment down here below on Facebook Live. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, the upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, you can always comment below or send me an email. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Ron's Rant of the Week. A big shout out, kind of a, not really a rant, but I've got other things I can rant about, don't worry. A big shout out to all the response from last week's show about the New Jersey blunder against e-bikes. I'm now shopping for my first motorcycle helmet so that I can ride an e-bike in New Jersey. Don't even ask. It just gets worse. It's really, really nice to see that, you know, people are responding to it. I got a ton of responses from it, so that was really kind of cool. And I agree. The people in New Jersey are just not thinking clearly, but maybe they have their motorcycle helmets on too tight. I don't know. And another little thing. Monday's headlines are for Alex Preti. Cyclists band together in cities all across the country to honor the ice victim. That was very moving. I'll have a little bit more in the show on that, hopefully. And one more thing. Of course, we have to have a rant in the rant section, right? Republican Representative Thomas Walsh of Hooksett said he still stands by his intent for the bill, which was to ask bicycle riders to pay a share of the state's cost for bicycle infrastructure. He said the $50 per bike figure was a placeholder and said he never intended the user fee to apply to children. Well, excuse me, Mr. Thomas Walsh, just so you understand, if you're paying taxes and you are a resident of the state of New Hampshire, then those taxes are going towards that infrastructure. If you are paying federal taxes, that's where the money comes from. We already pay for it. Do you understand? We already pay for it. Just because we don't put gas in our cars and we are riding our bicycles and not contributing in ways that you think are special does not necessarily mean that we are not giving money towards the infrastructure. Oh, boy, some people are just so thick. Not to mention that, I'll get into it a little more in the show. Let's go to a positive side. I think we need to go there. Shout out to Bill Murray. Why? Because it's Groundhog Day, of course. And Groundhog Day. It appears there that we're up to 6 more weeks of winter, according to the legend and urban myth of the groundhog. Hope to continue to see Bill at the UConn basketball games. Go Huskies. And the gradual addition of sunlight through February. Yeah, we're going to get more sun every day. We get a little bit more sun. It's unbelievable outside today. Bright, sunny. We might actually hit 30 degrees today. I know that doesn't sound like much for those of you that are listening in other parts of the country, but guess what? We've just had such an incredibly cold winter that 30 degrees is going to feel like balmy. And put on the suntan lotion and go outside and sit on the deck and grab some rays. It's insane. But no worries, we're going back to winter in less than a week, so we'll be back at the whole madness once again. Another positive side, I got a message from Pete, who said that the heavy equipment has arrived for phase one of the trail in Plainville. Yeah, that long-awaited trail in Plainville that's connecting the Farmington Trail to the New Haven Trail. They're starting to break ground on that. So the area which will ultimately become a parking lot is being cleared for the staging area for the trail construction. So it's a beginning. It's good. It's been a big, long fight on that one. Shout out to my friends at Renaissance Cyclery in Plainville, because they have been involved in that for Steve and Kathy have been involved in that project for a really, really long time, trying to get it to happen there. It's been a bit of a struggle, but anyway, yay, we're moving forward. More bike lanes, beautiful. More bike trails, excellent. More revenue for the state of Connecticut, great. Really, really good stuff. On top of positive side here, we got more. Delivery workers are the safest cyclists on the road, a study found. The cargo bike delivery is much faster than polluting vans and trucks, with massive benefits. Hey, what about that? We'll talk about that a little more in the show. And moving on, nearly one in five Americans want to ditch their car. Well. I think our time has come. This is it. People are starting to pay attention to this. They're starting to go, wait a second, the car cost me how much money? It's your second largest expense other than your mortgage. If you have a mortgage, or even if you're paying rent, it's huge expense. So people are now looking at it like, why should I be doing this? And if I can get around on a bicycle instead? Push for infrastructure, guys. That's the word. We need more infrastructure. More infrastructure means safer cycling, means less congestion on the roads. It means really, really good things for those who drive cars and trucks, believe it or not, because we will, if you can help support our infrastructure, then we won't be in your way anymore, as you seem to think we are. And let's say one more thing for the positive side, and that is February is Heart Healthy Month. Did you know that? That's another thing. February is a very exciting time because there's lots of things going on. I like February a lot. Why? It's cold. Yeah, it's probably, I think it is actually the snowiest month of the year that we have here in Connecticut. But the shortness of the month, the 28 days of February, it's just like it's an optimistic look at what's coming, and spring is coming, and we'll all be back out on the roads again soon, or off the roads again soon. The off the road thing actually takes a little bit longer, especially when you've had a real snowy winter, because it gets really muddy. And so going onto the trails when they're really muddy with your mountain bike is not advisable, because it will cause some destruction of the trail. So the road really seems to be the most appropriate place to be at first, or onto a paved trail like the Farmington Trail that they're working on right now. So, you know, there's places where you can definitely get out. But anyway, February is a short month. I like that. I get more sun in February. I'm a happier guy when I've got a lot more sun. By the way, here's an interesting thing. I spoke to a gentleman this past week, and I was up at the community center. It was just got a whole cold out. It was really, really chilly. And he was has back up against the building at the front entrance of the community center. And the sun was coming in strong from the south. And he just had himself placed directly against the back of the building. He was just standing there. And so I started chatting with him about it. And I said, you know, I'm curious, what are you doing? I said, it's really cold out. And he said that he was taking on the sun. Hey, Mark, thank you. Hey, greetings from Europe. I'm going to be talking about Lizzie on the show today. So anyway, we'll get back to that in a second. Hey, Justin, how are you doing? Haven't seen you in a long time either. So anyway, he's just got his back up against the wall out in the sun, and he's just getting his vitamin D, is what he said. Spends 5 minutes every day when the sun is out, even when it's bitter cold. Finds a nice sheltered area and just lets the sun come in on him. What a great idea. So I tried it. And I got to tell you, you just feel a lot better when you do that. You know, we take it for granted, because when we go out and we ride our bikes, we're out in the sun all the time. Of course, we have to watch out about too much sun, but that sun is just so good for you. It just makes you feel better. It's great for your mental health. It's great for your physical health. It's a beautiful thing. So anyway, just keep that in mind. February is a short month. That's why I like to talk about February as an exciting month of the year. The mechanical minute and bike tips. Next thing on my list, cervical fusion blues. Yeah, I still got that. You know, we'll keep you continued on that update as we go along. Kind of looking forward to some snow melt around here so I can actually try to ride my bike out on the road a little bit more, because I have made a couple of modifications on my bicycle to make it so I'll be a little bit more comfortable when I'm sitting on a bike. But, you know, I can't really try it out until it's good enough to be out on the road. And, you know, 30 degrees, as balmy as it may be today, is still not warm enough for me. I need my weather up into the 45 and 50s to be able to get back out. So it's coming. It's coming real soon. And because of that, I will just, I'll continue to try to get my fitness level up and my strength back up in the gym. And that's what you do in the wintertime. But anyway, moving on. And because February is a heart healthy month, there are key strategies now for cardiovascular improvement. So I am, and I have been giving you tips weekly here as to what to do to get your body and bicycle back in shape and get back out there again. Hopefully some of this is setting in. I talked about wall sits a few weeks ago, and you know, building up leg strength, and you know, just building up your core strength and doing all these things that are really key and critical when you get back on your bike. It really makes a big difference. So here we're going to talk about cardiovascular improvement, because it's heart month, and that is heart and lungs, and it is just so incredibly important. Two major muscles in your body, your heart and your lungs. People don't think about heart and lungs as muscles. They think about biceps. They think about quads. They think about glutes. They think about abs. They think about all these other things, but they don't think as much about heart and lungs being muscles. Well, they're critical muscles. So consistency is crucial. You want to aim for at least 3 to 5 sessions per week on your bicycle. Most health organizations recommend a minimum of 150 minutes of moderate intensity aerobic activity per week, which is roughly 30 minutes per day, 5 days a week. Okay, I know, there's some new stuff coming out, and I've read it, and they talk, well, you only really need to do this once a week to maintain. Bypass some of that information, because I don't think it's completely correct, especially if you want to actually use your bike for something like, you know, riding to the grocery store and doing some shopping and coming back, or maybe riding your bike back and forth to work, or, you know, just running errands, that sort of thing. You kind of have to get out more than once a week. So they're recommending here up to 30 minutes a day and 5 days a week. It's not difficult to find that kind of time. Turn off your screen for that much time per week. Anyway, I know we're all victims of screen time. It's just horrible. But anyway, determine your and monitor your intensity. Moderate intensity. During moderate cycling, you should be able to hold a conversation but not sing. Your heart rate should be roughly 50 to 70% of your maximum heart rate. Yeah, I can't sing when I'm riding my bike. Jeez, I can't talk when I'm riding my bike. Oh my God. Yeah, those are two things that would just drive me nuts. But anyway, vigorous intensity. During vigorous intensity, you will breathe hard and fast and likely only be able to speak a few words. Your heart rate should be about 70 to 85% of your maximum heart rate. So those are your intensity levels that you're looking at. I am a really strong proponent of only 2 really hard intensities per week, and the rest of the time should be what we used to call back in the day garbage miles, but they're actually smart miles. They're not garbage at all. They're very, very useful. So you want to keep that heart rate down into that 70% range. And, you know, you're still working. You're just not working that hard. It's just so, so good for you. And so good for repairing your body. Because if you do a really, really hard intensity, let's say you went out one day and you didn't go far, but you did a lot of hills. You know, it was really hilly. So there was a lot of intensity there. You need to take it easy the next day. And, you know, that's the way it works. So incorporate varied workouts is the next statement here. Steady rides, they're longer, consistent rides at moderate intensity. They should build an aerobic base and improve your endurance. Those are those 70% ones. Those are the ones where you want to keep the heart rate low. Don't push it super hard. High intensity interval training, well, that is all the rage these days. Everyone's talking about it like this brand new improvement thing that, you know, it's new discovery that if you do high intensity intervals, then you're going to get faster and stronger and all that. It's been around for like many, many, many years. I will say decades. I knew about high intensity workouts back in, you know, the days when I first started racing my bike, and I'm a really old guy, so geez, give me a break. But they've made it into this really big deal right now. And you hear, you see a lot of, you see a lot of things when you Google, and you'll see a lot of things that talk about HIIT workouts, H-I-I-T, high intensity interval training. And it's really, really good for you, but you really shouldn't spend a lot of time doing it. You got to keep that down. So alternate between short bursts of intense effort, about 30 to 60 seconds of maximal effort, and periods of low intensity recovery, 2 to 3 minutes of easy cycling. It's highly effective for improving cardiovascular fitness and efficiency. Tempo or threshold rides. These involve sustained effort at a comfortably hard pace. My favorite thing. I teach it in indoor cycling classes all the time. I talk a lot about comfortably hard. Comfortably hard is that place, if you're trying to figure out what it is, it's kind of a place you can carry on a lightish conversation. Not a lot, a few words here, a few words there, but you're breathing hard, you're working hard, your heart rate is going pretty good, probably between around 75 and 78% of your max, so you're not pushing over the edge and into the limits of zone 4 or anything. So zone 3 is really what it's called, if you're paying attention to your heart rate zones. And you can use that to ride at a point where lactic acid will build up in your muscles, and those rides build stamina and they increase your capacity to work harder and longer. So it's good for you. Gradual progression as your fitness improves, gradually increase the durations of your rides and the intensity of your workouts, or resistance terrain, cycling up hills, that sort of thing. Warm up and cool down. Always start with 5 to 10 minutes of warm up of easy pedaling to prepare your muscles for your cardiovascular system. End with 5 to 10 minute cool down and stretching. I have become more of a 10 to 15 minute guy. Maybe that's because of my age, because my body requires a little bit more time to get there, but that's kind of where I'm at right now. I would say adjust this to what works best for you, because you really want to be comfortable if you're pushing it a little bit that day. You want to make sure you're really warmed up good and comfortable. You don't want to hurt anything. You don't want to strain anything. You don't want to cause any problems in your body. So, and that comes down to listening to your body. And that's always a difficult thing to explain. I don't know how else to say it, but just listen to your body. Take a yoga class. You listen to your body all the time when you do that. That's always good. And I teach that too. So I do that, a little bit of that too. Proper nutrition and hydration. Fuel your body adequately before and after rides and stay well hydrated. Really important. Stay well hydrated. It's winter. I don't sweat in the wintertime. I don't need to hydrate. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Did you hear me? Wrong. Not correct. You need to really focus on it in the wintertime. And here's the reason why. We are living in artificial heat. It's very dry. And you know, if you live where we live here up in the Northeast, we get warm days that are very humid and they're not as dry. And then, of course, they make you sweat a lot. And then, of course, you remember to drink a lot. But you forget that those dry days will drain you at least as fast as the humid days will. So if you're living in artificial heat, which is very, very dry, you really need to focus on drinking. I've always got, here's my electrolyte right here sitting next to me. I go through at least one full container like this right here. This is like 20 ounces, 24 ounces, something like that. I do at least that much a day in electrolytes. And then I'm drinking water from the moment I get out of bed in the morning. So it's really, really important to pay attention to that. Final piece of information here, and this is all because we're focusing on cardiovascular fitness. If you haven't done any research on it, I recommend doing some research first before getting really involved in this, but you really need to use a heart rate monitor. Almost everything out there these days has a heart rate monitor hooked up to it. I wear a watch. The watch has a heart rate monitor hooked up to it. I wear a strap made by a company called Polar, which talks to all and communicates to all the machines in the local gym. So whatever machine I get on, it interacts with that and records my workouts. I have various programs I can use, whether it be provided by my phone, you know, the good old phone that I'm actually recording my show on right now. You can get this information from all types of sources, but it's real important to have some sort of a heart rate mechanism that is regulating, or not regulating, but measuring your heart rate. So it's not essential, but it really can help you stay in the right training zones. And I talk about zones all the time, and I look around the room that I taught this morning, and I shouted out and said, "Hey, who's using a heart rate monitor today?" And guess whose hand went up? Mine. Guess how many others went up? None. I don't get it. These are folks that are really dedicated to the class. They're really dedicated to the workout. I think they don't want to know how hard they're working. And that's why they probably push themselves a little too much. And that's probably why they're not getting the same benefit as they could if they were paying attention. Key point about the heart rate monitor, it makes you pay attention. And it's really important to know what's going on in here because you can't see it. You can't see what's going on. Yeah, I know, I worked out really hard today. Did you? Or did you think you worked out really hard today? What are your numbers? Do you have a program that records that? Do you have any way of knowing exactly what your numbers were? I have a, you know, on my watch right here, it ties into my phone, and there's a workout app on it. You push the workout app and it gives you different things you could do. You could be doing Pilates, you could be doing yoga, you could be going for a walk outside, you could be going for a walk inside, you could be on the treadmill, you could be on the elliptical machine, and you can push that button. It's going to measure everything and give you results later on. And that's important information. The biggest problem that I see with people when they're working on their cardiovascular health is that they work out too hard. You heard it from me. Yes, they work out too hard. So it's really, really important to monitor where you're at, because if you're not rested before your hard workout, you will not get the same benefit out of it that you will if you are rested before you get there. And resting doesn't necessarily mean that you're sitting on the couch with your feet up. It means that what you're doing is you're just going at a lower rate. You still got the motor running. You still got the machine working. You know, you're not idling, but you're going slowly. Look at it like that. But it's really, really important. And if you have a heart rate monitor, you can see all this. So that's why I shout out on this, because I think it's like super, super important. Let's move on to more content in the show here. So cyclists banded together in cities across the country to honor the ICE victim. This is for Alex Preti. The reason why they banded together for Alex Preti, this is obviously we're having more than one victim on this whole ICE raid problem that we're having, where we're seeing innocent citizens killed on our streets. It's pretty nasty. It's just a horrible thing. Well, Alex was a bike rider, and he was very, very involved in the local cycling community out in Minneapolis. And so what happened is there was a ride put on for this weekend. Yes, this weekend, this past weekend. Yes, snow on the road, icy cold, nasty. Thousands of cyclists rode through Minneapolis on Saturday in honor of Alex Preti, the nurse killed by ICE agents, during a protest who was a member of a local bicycle community. Similar events took place in Milwaukee, San Francisco, Colorado, New York, Iowa, and elsewhere. So lots of people hit the streets in an organized community effort to represent the victim of this tragic episode, and it's really, really sad. And a big shout out to anyone who was friends or family of Alex Preti, because you know this is just a pretty horrible thing. But it did happen, and it's nice to see that everyone was out there backing it. I got to tell you, if I was in Minneapolis, I probably would have participated, but I wouldn't have lasted very long because I do not like that kind of cold, and it is cold there. Anyway, the other thing that is interesting that came up in my news feed, other than all of the protest rides that were happening this weekend, is that the delivery workers, I said this in my opening on the show, are the safest cyclists on the road due to a study from Hunter College, which is embracing e-bikes. How about that? So I guess that what happens, kind of like, you know, I got a chance to, I was down in New Jersey this weekend. I was at a bar mitzvah for Fran's nephew, and I guess that's my nephew too. Anyway, sorry, gets confusing. And we went to a bar mitzvah and we stayed in a hotel. We were down there because there's a lot of family around and it was no room for us at their house. So we stayed in a hotel and I got to talk to a couple of independent truckers. And you know, they were just camping out because they were supposed to be in Memphis, Tennessee. And that was just not a good place to be that weekend because we had another big snowstorm coming through. And it really hit down south more than it hit up where we were. So we just got talking and, you know, they asked me what I did and I told them about my days of being on the road in sales and how I just loved going out and getting out early in the morning because all I had to do is drive with the truckers, and truckers were so much more responsible when they were driving. And they said, well, we have to be because this is our job and we want to keep our jobs and we don't want to be in an accident because it costs us money and it costs us time. And so here it is, delivery workers on bicycles are in that same situation. They really want to be safer because they've got things they have to get done, and this is how they get themselves around. So the Hunter College study examined 155 intersections during a three-week period in late 2025 when a team of 56 researchers observed individuals using anything that's not a car to get around. Bikes, e-bikes, mopeds, scooters. The researchers looked at the type of vehicles they used and how the street design affect their behavior. The results indicated that any implication that delivery workers are less safe than non-commercial riders is misplaced, the study authors concluded. I hear this all the time. We'll backtrack on it. 58% of recreational and commuter riders disobeyed a red light. By contrast, 55% of the delivery workers waited entirely for the light to turn green, 27% stopped to ensure that they were safe and then continue, and only 18% blew through red lights at speed. The study acknowledged that treating a red light as a stop sign, known as the Idaho stop, is technically illegal, just as much as jaywalking was back in 2025, but not necessarily unsafe. Those of you who don't know what an Idaho stop is, the Idaho stop is where you kind of do a slow roll through a right-hand turn. That's essentially what it is. No one's coming. You roll through. You just keep going. It's legal in a number of states. The first state to be Idaho. It's been going on there for over 30 years. And it does make a lot of sense, because on a bicycle, you have to then start out again. You expel more energy. And it makes riding a bicycle a more efficient way to get around if you can do that legally. So anyway, delivery workers accounted for approximately 40% of those observed vehicles. One of the lead researchers, Professor Mike Bendixson, said the workers' behavior followed a certain logic. When you think it through, it becomes less surprising, he said. It does stand to reason that deliveristas would be more cautious in their riding. They have more at stake, and they're professionals. I said this earlier. They're getting a lot more hours engaged in micro-mobility riding, and I'm sure they don't relish the idea of getting into an accident and losing their means of making a living. Perfect. Last year, former mayor Eric Adams in New York imposed a 15-mile-per-hour e-bike speed limit and ordered the New York Police Department to issue criminal summons to cyclists. Benedictson saw the study as a chance to bring in more data into the conversation around e-bikes. There's been a lot of politicized discourse and attention to issues relating to micromobility. And it seemed like an issue where we could do something helpful and shed some light on an aspect of public behavior in the streetscape and an aspect of transportation that's not entirely understood, but that's growing very rapidly. Advocates said the study revealed that they have what they have known all along. I'm so glad the research was done, because it validates what we've been saying, said Liga Gulapa, the executive director of Workers' Justice Project, which includes Los Deliveristas Unidos. Street safety is the number one priority for app delivery workers. The streets are not safe enough, and there is a serious lack of infrastructure for workers and for the whole biking community. The research supports Galapa's claims. The Department of Transportation consistently says that protected bike infrastructure increases safety for all road users, but the Hunter study found that it also increased the feeling of safety and decreased recklessness, even if that recklessness would not have resulted in a recorded crash. So anyway, the study also found that the lack of protected bike infrastructure correlates with more cyclists riding on the sidewalk. Just 2.8% of the riders take the sidewalk in the presence of a protected lane, but that rises to 12.9% of the riders when no infrastructure exists. This is strong evidence that riders use sidewalks when they feel unsafe and unprotected in the roadway. There are multiple payoffs of protected bike lanes. Cyclists and e-bike riders are safer on those protected lanes in real terms, but there's also the psychological effect of feeling safer. Beyond that, the feeling of having a formal space in the roadway that belongs to you is what may explain our finding that people are more law-abiding generally when they're in protected lanes. Interesting. So anyway, the delivery workers are safer than the general cycling public. Think about that. That's a really cool thing. So I thought that would be fun to share. And now we're going to share a few more things. Like, did you know that the first Friday of the month of February is Wear Red for Women's Health National Wear Red Day? Yeah, the Heart Association's Go Red for Women movement is joining a fight against the number one killer of women, heart disease. Yeah, cardiovascular fitness. Here we go again. So the American Heart Association, this is why it's the American Heart Association's Heart Month. That's what this is all about. So remember to wear your red on Friday, which is good. If you're riding outside on your bicycle, good for you. Wear your red kit on Friday, because, you know, it does give us representation. And the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women movement, nationally sponsored by CVS Health, is asking women to make bold moves for a healthier tomorrow. So you got to know, when knowing about your cardiovascular health is really important. You want to make sure you visit a doctor, and you want to have your blood pressure checked, your blood glucose, your cholesterol, and your body mass index can all be checked. And it can lower your risk for heart disease and stroke. It's really, really important. Learn hands-on only CPR. You can do that too. I am well trained in that. I've been doing it for years, and I fortunately have never had to use it. Oh, thank goodness. I don't ever want to have to use it, but I know how to do it if I need to. So maybe that's something you might want to put on that bucket list of things that, you know, you haven't figured out how to do yet. You're looking for something new. Go to the CPR training course. You can just contact the American Heart Association. They'll guide you in the direction. A lot of times your local community center can also guide you in that direction, or your town recreation departments, all that. So, yeah, it's American Heart Month. Let it be known. Let's move on to, what else do I have here? So earlier I mentioned an outcry in New Hampshire. A state lawmaker was inundated with comments against this legislation that would create a $50 bicycle user fee, and said he expects to amend and drop the bill, which he conceded has little chance of passage as written. But the point is, guess what? You brought it up. And if you brought it up, it went across my radar. And if it goes across my radar, I'm going to yell at you. I'm going to give you a little shout out in a bad direction. What were you thinking? I am so sick and tired of cyclists being identified as abusers of the system. Yes, there are some bad apples out there, but I can tell you from this broadcast and from other broadcasts that I have done that people who drive cars and trucks violate much more than cyclists violate. So, and the numbers are out there. In addition, please, let's get it through our heads here, okay? Let's be clear. Your gasoline tax has very, very little to do with road infrastructure. Very, very little to do with it, all right? Your tax on your motorized vehicle has very, very, very little to do with infrastructure. The majority of the money, the majority of the dollars that build the roads in this country, let it be towns or states or, you know, interstates, all that, it comes from federal taxes. By the way, that is a that is a, I guess you could kind of call it a little socialist kind of addition that we have. So if you feel that you have a problem with socialism, I'm just going to throw this little political comment out there. Why don't you think twice about that when you get in your car the next time and go for a ride down the road? Because that road was built on socialism. It was not built on gas tax. So anyway, I've been through this, and I have beat that dead horse so, so many times. But having an excise tax and a fee for bikes is the wrong direction to go. Using a small percentage of the taxes that we charge for everybody to drive their cars around, which includes people on bicycles, I might add, is a better way to go. And if we can increase and build the infrastructure for cyclists, the problem gets solved very, very quickly. So this is sort of a dead horse issue, and yeah, I am beating it, and that's all there is to it. But anyway, let's move on to something else, because I don't want to, you know, rant on this guy too much longer. He did say he would rescind it, so we'll give him that. And thank you for coming to your senses after coming up with a really foolish idea. So, goes on to say that ignorance is curable, Stupidity is unfortunate. I've said it many, many times. Cargo bike delivery is much faster than polluting vans and trucks with massive benefits. Hey, what do you know? Yeah, those cargo bikes that are in the cities that are traveling around and they're doing the Uber thing and they're not the Uber thing, but the Grubhub thing and all the other delivery services that are out there. The new study in the UK demonstrates an incredible utility of the cargo bike delivery as a new model for urban areas. The study is entitled The Promise of Low Carbon Freight, and it compares deliveries using GPS data from routes taken by Pedal Me cargo bikes in central London to traditional delivery vans. According to the report, there were 213,000 vans, which, when parked outside, occupied around 2,557,200 square meters of road space. We find that the service performed by the Pedal Me freight cycles is an average of 1.6 times faster than the one performed by a van, the study read. If 10% of traditional van deliveries were replaced by cargo bikes, it would divert 133,300 tons of CO2 and 190.4 kilograms of carbon, NOx, I'm sorry, not to mention the reduction of traffic and freeing up public space. Blah, blah, blah. This is all, you know, when you live in the world of bicycles, and this is kind of like, it's sort of like we already know this. My job is to try to inform more people about it. And hopefully someone might be listening to this broadcast and they'll go, you know, I drive a car and I was listening to this guy and he's talking all about bicycles and how you can reduce our emissions and we can do this and on and on and on. If it sticks, you know, you throw it against the wall. If it sticks, it's a good thing. So I'm just going to keep trying. And all I can ask to you, my listeners, is to continue to, you know, beat the drum and move forward with this. So let's move on to what else do we have here? Oh, I know what we have here. We have the UCI Cyclocross World Championships. Now, I had a very, very, very proud dad. Oh, he's back. Hi, Mark. You're back. Pop on earlier in the show. And I know why he's a proud dad, because many, many, many years ago, Mark used to bring his daughter, Lizzie, to my cyclocross races. And she was just a little girl, and she's a much bigger girl now. She's all grown up, and she's racing on the U.S. cyclocross team. She won the U.S. national championships this year. She won the Pan Am Games this year. And she went on over to Europe to race in some very, very challenging races, because European cyclocross is way up there, the next tier. But she did it. And I got huge shout outs here. Incredibly proud of her. She's from Dudley, Massachusetts, right over the Connecticut border. She's very, very close by. And I can't say enough good about this. But let's do a little shout out to the American riders that were involved in the Cyclocross Worlds this year. First of all, I'm just going to mention the men's real quick. Andrew Strohmeyer, he was 31st overall in the Worlds. We generally get DNF'd in the Worlds as American cyclists. And so when you start seeing names that are showing up and they didn't get pulled out of the race because they were able to be competitive, this is a great thing. On the women's side, Elizabeth Gonzalez from Dudley, Massachusetts, was 20th overall in the world. Yay, Lizzie! All right. It's so cool. It was so cool to watch and see your name up there and see what you did. I'm very, very proud of you. And I'm sure your dad will let you know that I shouted you out on the on the show here. So Mark, make sure you tell Lizzie I said yay, Lizzie. So we're all Team Lizzie here. We love following her because she is somewhat local to us, and so it's been really a great ride for us too. 25th overall in the women's elite race was Anna McGale, and also from the US. And I have others. I've got a couple of U23 men and U23 women too that did quite well in the world. And I'm not going to get super deep into this because I'm going to run out of time if I do. But, and I have some other things here, but I do have, let's go here. Let's go to junior women, and from the United States, we have, starting with Kyra Mullins, 18th overall. Hello, here we go. And down next is Ada Linton from the U.S. She was 22nd overall. And we go down to Ada Watson, who was 26th overall. And these are all U.S. riders. Here we go down to 32nd. And we have Tessa Beebe, who was 32nd overall from the U.S. And 36th overall, we have Graydon Domé. And that covers pretty much our U.S. riders. Hey, there's a lot of hope here because this is women's juniors. So we are developing some great riders in this country. And that is a real good thing. Men under 23. So U23 riders from the United States. I'm going to scroll down here. I'm going to find Henry Coote at 13th overall. And then we're going to go down a little bit lower here. And I see Ryan Drummond at 26th overall. And then we go to Calvin Conway, who was 33rd overall. And that pretty much, I think, covers our American riders in the U23 men. So we've got some up-and-coming riders here. This is really, really exciting. I love seeing this. And what else do we have here? Men's, women's, juniors. There were a whole bunch of junior women, I believe. I think I just did those, actually. I missed the U23s. So I had mentioned the women before. Probably more women than men. So we've got quite a development program here. Let's go with U23 in the women and see what we got, because I've got my, yep, right here, coming in 7th place overall. Am I right? Yeah, 6th place overall. First finisher from the U.S., U23 women, Vida Lopez de Serroman. Very cool. In 7th place, Alisa Sarkozov. In 8th place, Lydia Cusack. And so 3 in a row right there in top standings. 13th overall was Catherine Sarkozov. And going down my list here. And my next USA rider is Lily Sonneman. Sonneman. And Kaya Musgrave was after that. They were 25th and 26th overall. Wow. We got some things happening here, folks. That was the U23 women. And in men's juniors, I think it's the only one that I have not hit yet, other than the team races. We will go down the list here. And I think this was where we were a little on the thin side. And I am not wrong with that, because as I go down the list, I go all the way to 43rd. It's Porter Melvin, who was 43rd overall from the U.S. And keep going. And Jacob Hines, who was 60th overall from the U.S. So the big word here, the big news here is the United States finally sent over a lot of people from cyclocross that really made a point to let everybody know that we're alive and kicking and we're growing. And that's really exciting to me, because it is a passion of mine, that because I have been a promoter since 1983. And so I also was a participant back then too. I started participating in cyclocross back in the 70s, and yeah, I'm old. That's all right. That's all right. I'm still young at heart. So anyway, great news on the world front, on the World Cyclocross Championships. Just a really, really cool thing. So I'm very, very excited by it. I'm going to go back here just a little bit because I had another thing I wanted to talk about besides cyclocross. I know it's, I should probably talk about this. Speaking of cyclocross, Matthew Vanderpoel says he took more caution as he chased a record-breaking 8th cyclocross world title. The quote is, "Maybe it's not a bad idea to skip one winter," the Dutchman adds as he turns focus to the upcoming road season. Tadej Pogačar, watch out. The classics are coming, and Matthew is hot, and he is fit. And if he can maintain this fitness into the classics, I think that we've got some great racing coming up this spring. It should be really, really good. But anyway, it was cool to see this. I don't know if you got a chance to watch it. It's on YouTube. If you want to watch these races, they're really, really fun. In the women's race, the quote here is, "Mad at myself for crashing in elite women's cyclocross race, but Lucinda Brand stays calm to hold off Dutch rival for the second title." So she's finds strength this winter after personal tragedy. She's not really distraught from the things that happen around. So Lucinda Brand won the women's in the elite category. Great racing. If you like to watch cross racing, this is good stuff. It was muddy, very, very muddy. And this was one of the few races that Matthew Vanderpoel was not minutes ahead of everyone because it was there were different conditions for sure. So exciting stuff. If you get a chance, go to YouTube, watch the World Championship races. There's clips. There's also full coverage. It's really, really fun to watch. And we did really well here in the United States. So I'm pretty psyched about that. That was good stuff. Let's see, what else do I have here? I mentioned this earlier, and I just wanted to throw it out there. You know, every week I say on my show, and I say, just take one day out of the week. That's all. Park your car, park your truck, and ride your bike instead. Okay? Go to work with it, run errands with it. Doesn't have to be during a work day when you're pressed to get to work and I don't have time to deal with that because I'm afraid I'm not going to get there at time and I don't have a shower and all. It could be on the weekend when you're out running errands. Maybe you're going to the grocery store. Maybe you're picking up a few things. You just got to take one day and park the motorized vehicle. Here we go. Nearly 1 in 5 Americans want to ditch their car. Hooray! I love it. This is good news. For decades, the United States and by extension Canada have been defined by the automobile. Cities have been built around it, subsidized it, and normalized the idea that adulthood comes with a set of keys and a monthly car payment. But not only doesn't it have to be that way, but a new study shows that there's a new dream taking shape. Car-free living. According to a new nationwide survey published by the Transportation Research Part, a nearly 1 in 5 urban and suburban Americans who currently own a car say they are strongly interested in living car-free. Another 40% say that they're open to the idea. Yes! This is great. For anyone who rides a bike by choice or necessity, that number should stop you in your tracks. This represents millions of people that it's not just students, low-income households, or bike couriers or urbanists. It's a demand that the transportation system simply hasn't caught up with yet. And it represents a massive opportunity to reshape the North American landscape. As seen in cities such as Paris, fewer cars and fewer drivers can translate to less traffic congestions, cleaner air, healthier and happier people, and local businesses. Car-free living does not mean car never. First clarification that matters, especially for cyclists. Car-free living doesn't mean that never using a car. It means not owning one. You might still rent, car share, or hitch a ride occasionally, but your day-to-day life works with out a personal vehicle sitting at the curb. Car light living is definitely a growing trend. That distinction is important because in the U.S., most zero car households today are car less, not car free. They don't own a car because they can't afford one, not because the transportation system gives them good alternatives. What the research has set out to measure was something different: latent demand. How many people want to live without a car but currently can't? The numbers are bigger than you think, and I still have some time to talk about this. Using the National Representative Survey of more than 2,100 adults, researchers found that 18% of urban and suburban car owners are definitely interested in living car-free. 40% say they might consider it someday, and about 10% already live in the zero-car household. If even those strong interests could realistically make a switch, the share of car-free households in the U.S. could approach levels seen in countries like Germany or the U.K. For cyclists, this matters because bikes are consistently one of the key tools people rely on when they're giving up car ownership, especially for short trips, commuting, and everyday errands. Who wants to go car free? Here's the findings. You ready? Here it goes. Past experience living without a car. If someone has done it before, even temporarily, they're far more likely to do it again. Number two, already using other modes. People who bike, walk, or take transit, or even for even a small share of trips, such as little as 5%, which are more likely to imagine car free life. Number three, lower car dependence. How often do you drive, but how necessary that car feels? Number four, regular transit use. Transit and cycling aren't competitors. They're teammates working hard and hand in hand to do as they do in Europe so well. See the Netherlands. Number five, less enjoyment of driving. People who don't love driving are more open to alternatives. By the way, I spent the weekend driving down to New Jersey and back, and I was a road rep on the road in the bicycle industry for a very, very, very long time. And boy, I tell you, I don't miss those drives. Boy, it's just, you know, it's the chaos that occurs, the almost got cut off by then and in an accident that occurs. It's the unbelievable impatience of the motorized vehicle driver. I'm not going to point any fingers at anyone in particular. I think we're all there. I think it's a real problem. And look at this. It looks like more and more people are starting to think my way. So this is a great story, and I wanted to share it with you. But how about that? You know, nearly one in five Americans want to ditch their car. I love this. This is such great information. And the demand is there. The pedals are already turning. Now cities need to catch up. Takeaway from the research isn't that everyone should give up their car tomorrow. It's that millions of Americans are ready for a system that doesn't force them to own one. Think about what the car costs, what the average brand new car costs in the United States. Think about how much it costs to insure that thing. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of your working money. That's money you can spend on other things that are probably a lot more important to you. So it's time to prioritize, take a look, and see what you can do to change your world. It's Peddling Ron. This is what I talk about. All right, we're going to close the show out here. We pretty much have hit most everything I wanted to talk about today. And remember, it's heart month, so that's really, really important. You want to take care of your heart, super important, cardiovascular system. Best way to do it, on your bike, of course. It's a great thing. Save the date for the 2026 Bicycle Leadership Conference in Dana Point, California, March 17th through the 20th. The Giro d'Italia is May 8th through May 31st. The Tour de France is July 4th through July 26th. And give us your opinion. Remember, bicycling is freedom. Life is better when everyone and more people ride bikes. I'll say it again, it won't be my last time. Get loud, get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, and lack of places to safely ride, and do your part. Take the pedal and run challenge. Consider parking the car one day and ride your bicycle instead. You will surprise yourself. The views on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk. And if you're watching on Facebook Live, you can leave comments below. If you're listening on an audio file, you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. You will surprise yourself, and it really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thanks for listening. Get on your bikes and ride!